And in Romans chapter 10, verses 11, 12 and 13, the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him, that's Christ, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Jews divided up everybody very simply. Either you were a Jew or you were a Gentile. You either were a Jew or you were a heathen. And Paul in the scripture here is taking that division. For he says that so many Jews who thought of themselves as being God's special people weren't anything of the sort. Whereas those who, heathens, those Gentiles, who'd never believed before, suddenly understood. And they were brought into Christ's fold. And the Jews were not very happy about it. So that's the sort of thing that Paul is saying here. He says, I'm a Jew, and I have a great desire and prayer that the Jewish people, like I am, should be saved. I know that they seek salvation. They have a knowledge of God, but they go about it the wrong way. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. So they think they can make themselves good. If I do a good deed every day, that will save me. But of course, they're ignorant of the way God saves. He doesn't save like that. You will not be able to plead on judgment day that you've done one good deed every day, or even 50 good deeds every day of your life. Moses, he says, tells us in the law that if you believe the law, we looked at the Ten Commandments last week, that the man who does those things must live by them. So if what we believe in is the Ten Commandments, and many people fail there, we've got to live by them. Mustn't fail once, not once at all, not once ever. Because if the law or doing our own good thing is what we aim to do, we must never, even once, get cross, get angry unfairly, lose our temper, or whatever, anything. Hard, isn't it? But Paul says there is a much better way. It's God's way, and it's the way that God has provided through his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what it says. There's no need to go searching into heaven, if you could, or go looking for great depths of knowledge. Because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is ever so near, ever so close, ever so easy to be believed. You haven't got to go searching beyond the scriptures, beyond the gospel, beyond the preaching, which is about Christ. So this is what he's saying. Either we've got it wrong, or we've got it right. And the wrong way is to think that even by keeping all the laws of God, we'll be saved, because we won't actually have done it without the odd slip-up, at best. So, what is the faith? What is God's righteousness? Well, now, we believe in our hearts when we become Christians unto God's righteousness. The Lord Jesus is the one who is presented by God. There is one man alone, who did keep every law, never once failing. Compared with him, we've had it. We haven't managed it. But the Lord has given, God has given the Lord Jesus Christ his perfect life to pay for our sins. He doesn't have to pay for any of his own, for he never did any. He was perfect, perfectly righteous. Two things. His blood on Calvary atones for sin, and his perfect righteousness to those who actually belong to him is counted to them that they are righteous. Can't be righteous any other way. So here we have it set out that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and if we believe in our heart that he's raised from the dead, then we should be saved. So the important thing to begin to notice is we can't just believe in Jesus merely as if he's existed. You say to people, well, you know, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They say, well, I do believe. So I think to myself, well, what do they believe? Well, just that he existed, you know, that he's a historical figure. That won't do. We need to believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead. But why did he die? He died to make atonement for our sin. Now, what does that mean? It means that every day that we're not a Christian, God is angry. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. And everybody says, well, I'm not wicked. What do they mean? Well, they mean they haven't done a murder. That's right, that's wonderful. What is more wicked than not believing in God that made the world? Than not trusting in God who made the world? Setting ourselves up as able to be easily saved when God has provided just one way, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus paid the price of our wickedness because he had none. He bore it on our behalf. Not on everybody, by our I don't mean everybody in the world, but everyone who turns to him in believing. He bore their sins. Lots of thought there. Every one of our sins of all time and of all the Christians of all time, he died for and paid the price for on the cross. But we're interested in how it affects us. And if we believe that God has raised him from the dead, so that it isn't just dead, but he's alive and living, preparing a place for those who are saved by his righteousness and atonement, then there's something worth having there. It's not just a vague idea. I think there's a Christ. I know there was a Christ without knowing why he came and what will be the end of it all. And then Paul goes on to say, with the heart we believe, but with the mouth we actually tell people about him. We believe to that extent that even though he is unseen and it happened a long while ago, we're not ashamed to speak about what this Lord Jesus has done for us. We know he has to be alive because of what he's done for us during our lifetime. Well, that's the background. That's how Paul was arguing through this passage. And he says, you see, there's no difference. Jews and Gentiles, the whole world is made by God in just the same way. And what he's done for us all just in the world of nature is wonderful when you think of all the things that there are, all the animals there are, all the universe that is. The same Lord over Jew and Greek, the same Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. Aye. He's rich unto all that call upon him. Now, our verses 11 and 13 both begin with whosoever. Whosoever. Paul once spoke of this mortal's immortality. And he meant me. I must do that. I'm a mortal. I've got to put on immortality. And whosoever, whenever it occurs in the Bible, means me. Because if it doesn't mean me, everybody else is all right, but I'm not. Whosoever means me. I've got to believe. I've received the riches of God, and I've been careless of them, or not given God the glory for them. Whosoever. The most famous verse with whosoever in, it's whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. But it's always, are you going to be an exception? Or are you going to be with the majority in the wrong sense? It's whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth. We talked about the believing. That we believe certain things about Christ. It's not just, you can't just believe Christ. You must know why he came. He came for sin. He came to deal with the sin of those who do believe in him. He came to pay the price of it. He came to give his righteousness, his perfection to those who belong to him. They're covered by him. Therefore, they're not guilty with the rest of the world. It's a wonderful, wonderful gospel. Whosoever believeth on him, and in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. So believing in him involves calling upon him. It's the essential part of whosoever or whoever. We can't believe without calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something wonderful about that. Because we only begin to know God when we've called upon him about our sin. And when he makes us known that our sins are forgiven through Christ, then we can say we know him. It's happened to us. We may have fellowship with him. He's loved me. And gave himself for me. We may say that we know, we call upon him. And therefore we believe in him. Whosoever believeth in Christ, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, believing in him. And what does it say in each case? Well, in one case it says, shall not be ashamed. And in the other case, it says, shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, verse 13, shall be saved. The Lord Jesus came to save. That's why he went to the cross of Calvary and endured all its terrible things. We're told, especially, despising the shame of being hung on the cross, the shame of being hung naked upon the cross, the shame of being outside the city wall on the cross, the shame of being spat at while he's on the cross and couldn't do anything more about it. Jesus was not ashamed to die for his people. And we shall not be ashamed in our turn two things here. The scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It does mean that we shan't be ashamed of confessing him, of talking about him. But that isn't the basic meaning here. The basic meaning here is that he will not let us down. We'll never be ashamed that we trusted in the Lord Jesus. Others may laugh at us, others may mock at us. But when it comes to eternal life, millions and millions of years made perfect, sustained perfectly, in a wonderful situation compared with this world, we won't be ashamed of that. The others may be. But we will not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Sometimes people we trusted let us down. Or sometimes people we like do silly things or wicked things. And we're ashamed of them. But whosoever believeth in Christ shall never be ashamed. He'll never let them down. He'll never refuse to have them. He'll never turn his back on them. There's nothing like calling upon the name of the Lord and believing in him. Nothing gives more wonderful, rich results than believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not just the Jew, but anybody of any period of history who calls upon the name of the Lord, it would be a shame to be one who in the 21st century didn't call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever in any period of history calls, but what a tragedy if we don't call. If we don't approach him. If we don't come near to him. If we don't confess our sins to him and say, I'm not worthy of any love. I'm not worthy of your care. You're the great God. But your word says, you will pardon me. You will forgive me. You died to forgive me. Something like that goes on in the mind of an individual who's calling upon the Lord. The question is, of course, have we done that? Is that what our experience was? And of course, having once been, continues. The Lord is rich to all that call upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are all very wonderful words. Whosoever believeth, but saved. Saved means rescued. It's not difficult to understand. What is difficult to understand is the rescue of the soul. But whosoever turns to the Lord Jesus will find their soul to be saved. Now the soul is the essential part of us. When we die, the soul and body are separated. The body rots, but the soul goes to be, I was going to say, in heaven with God always, but they could also go to hell. But it's eternal. The soul will never cease to exist, nor ever. Neither we shall be with the Lord Jesus in light, or we shall be in hell with all the wickedness in darkness. But saved means that whether at the beginning of our lives, or whether at the last moment, the Lord has rescued us by his blood, by his righteousness, from the penalty of our sins. The longer we live, of course, the more sins there will be. The more we shall need to call upon him. But if we call upon him while we're young, it will keep us from many dangers and temptations, which of course we'll never know. Whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus shall never be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The two are one, but expressed in different ways. Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Will you call upon the name of the Lord? Perhaps you say, well, I have, and I haven't. Or perhaps when I did try and call upon the name of the Lord, such an explosion happened within me of all the wicked things. I didn't want to. I knew something of this after I'd become a Christian. I didn't go through that experience then. But when the Lord called me to serve him on the Lord's day, and it was that or trains, there was a tremendous battle in my heart. Didn't realize how much trains had got a hold on me. Because if I worshipped him on the Sabbath, I'd have to do my homework on the Saturday, bye-bye trains. But there was a terrible battle. Now, when Satan's involved, there is a terrible battle to let go of our sins, whatever they are, at whatever time of life they are. And you say, well, yeah, I call upon him, but the Lord sort of takes away the seriousness. Satan takes away the seriousness, or Satan makes it so serious that I can't let go of the things that are precious to me. But call upon the Lord, persist in calling. Sometimes he doesn't, you'd think perhaps, that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord and whosoever believeth in him would mean that instantly we're set free. Sometimes it happens like that. But sometimes the Lord wants to see if we're genuine. Once or twice when Jesus healed people, he said, for example, to a blind person, go and wash somewhere. Go and wash in the river. Anoint your eyes. And while they were going, what do you think their thoughts were? They hadn't been changed. They hadn't been altered. Was Jesus right, or was they going on a fool's errand? Well, only trying, they'd find out. And it worked. If you find, when you call upon the Lord, that there's a little delay, he's just seeing how genuine you are. It's easy to say, yes, I'll believe, I'll be a Christian. But the Lord knows people's hearts, and they don't stick to these resolutions. So sometimes the Lord makes it a little difficult to continue calling upon him, so that he might just test if we're being genuine. But whosoever calls will be saved. Whosoever believes shall not be ashamed. There's nothing more important. Today, if you're not saved, is the most important day in your life. Should you be saved? Because it will make all the difference for the whole of eternity. Today, if you've heard the gospel and you're not saved and you don't act upon it, it still is the most important day in your life. Because for all you know, you'll never get another opportunity, and it might be hell forever. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May it be us. Amen.